You have your Bibles, if you would, please now turn with me in the Word of God to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. John's Gospel, chapter 8. We want to take up reading for this morning's message, beginning with verse 31. John's Gospel, chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. I'll read down through verse 36. John chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. It says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered Him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Now let's join together in prayer. Father, we come to You today as we are so very thankful that we can come to You by Your grace. And now, Lord, come to Your word of grace and seek the truths of Your Scripture, that we might learn, that we might be enabled to better understand Your will and to follow what You have called us as Your people to do. We ask You, O God, that Your Spirit would come, that He would minister to our hearts, that He would encourage Your people, and Lord, that He would draw those who do not know Jesus Christ to a very real awareness of their need and the wonderful remedy You have provided through Your Son. Father, we ask that You would add to Your church, and Lord, that You would bless in all that is done for Your glory's sake. And we pray this in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. As we come to this text of Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, in the context of giving profound, fundamental, foundational truths about His message, His person, and the very essence of what it means to be a follower of Christ, speaks these words to the hearers who had put their faith and had believed in Him. In fact, if you'll look at verse 31, you will note here, in the context, Jesus said these words to those Jews which believed on Him. You are very well aware that in the context of this passage, the larger context, Jesus has been speaking with a very diverse group who had gathered to hear Him teach. Some of them were honest, earnest seekers desiring to know something of the truth Jesus spoke of. Others of them did not have pure motives, and Jesus exposes their desires in His very pointed and confrontive statements in this chapter. Jesus now turns and He speaks to those who had believed in Him. If you look back up in verse 30, just one verse, I didn't read this a moment ago, but we will note there in the context of the great I Am statement where Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," it says He spake these words and many believed on Him. So Jesus here, as He speaks specifically to this gathering of people, He wants to make very clear in their hearing exactly what it means to believe on Him. Congregation, these words that the Lord Jesus shares, they are timeless and they are very relevant for our day and our age particularly. They are very relevant because, quite frankly, congregation, we live in a day of what has been called easy believism. It is a day where there is a great paucity of the true nature of saving faith within many so-called churches. There has been much confusion. There has been truncated gospels which have been preached. And congregation, as I have said before and I'll say it again, half-truth declared as whole truth becomes untruth. So Jesus Christ, as He speaks to this gathering, He wants to make very clear. He wants His followers to understand exactly what the claims of believing in Christ and accepting Him truly are. So Jesus, as it were, backs up a step and He wants to make clear about what it means for them to believe. First of all, if you're taking notes this morning, the first point of the message is we note here in this passage the bondage asserted. The bondage asserted. Jesus here wants to make very clear man's true spiritual condition. He wants us to understand that there is a very real depravity and bondage which all people universally find themselves in. Look again, if you will, in verses 31 and 32. I want to read this in your hearing again. Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, "If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus makes that statement, and I want you to focus in verse 31 to that one word, continue. Could be translated as abide. Jesus says here, those who are My disciples, truly My disciples, indeed very genuinely My disciples, they are those who continue in My word. He says, those who are My disciples are those who continue to hear My words, follow My words, and receive My words with a settled, ready obedience to do whatever I call them to do. Jesus would say in another context, "My sheep hear My voice, and they what? They follow Me." And this is what Jesus is saying. All true believers, all true Christians follow Christ. They continue in His Word. They seek to do His will. They desire to faithfully and honestly, to all effort and all sincerity, to do what Christ desires that they do. Amen. Congregation, these words here, as I said a moment ago, this is foreign to much of the preaching that we hear in many places in our day. Much of the so-called easy believism of our day just basically says, come down the aisle, fill out a card, pray a prayer, and then never doubt your salvation, never question the authenticity of your faith, because you went through the process, you went through the procedure, you filled out the card, you said the magic prayer, and therefore everything is okay. Jesus says this is not the basis of your assurance. This should not be the foundation upon which you look at your faith and you say with some confidence that your faith is true, saving faith. He says those who continue, those who abide, those who follow and obey My word continually, habitually, as a pattern of their lives, they are My disciples indeed. If you would please, I want you to look with me over in 1 John chapter 2, just for a moment. And I want us to note here a familiar passage to perhaps a good many of us. But a passage which reminds us of the very truths Jesus Himself is declaring. I am of the opinion that the writer of the Gospel of John is the same writer of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and the Revelation and the last book of the New Testament. And so when we come to this first epistle of John, chapter 2, we want to note here what John says about those who can have some real confidence in their conversion. John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 3. He says, "And hereby we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him." We will note here in this passage, just as we heard from the words of Jesus Himself, that there is this necessity of a continued pattern of obedience and holiness which characterizes those who are truly Christ. Those who are truly people who know Him savingly, know Him believingly, know Him in a way that is authentic faith, are those who keep His commandments. Now, congregation, there are those who read these verses and they say immediately, "Now wait a minute, you're preaching a work salvation if you say that. Isn't salvation all of grace? Isn't it the free gift of God? And yet here you are telling us that we must keep God's commandments." Well, congregation, there is absolutely no contradiction whatsoever. Amen? Because what the Scripture says and what Jesus is declaring is not that the very means of salvation is keeping God's commandments, but the evidence of salvation is keeping God's commandments. He says those who are saved, those who are truly regenerate, those who are new creatures in Christ, the old things have passed away, new things have come, and they are different. Different in their desires, different in their walk, different in their inclinations. The very heart of a sinner is so changed that they have from the inside out a desire to follow Christ. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, those who continue in My word, those who obey, those who follow, those who keep My commandments, they and they alone are truly My disciples. Now, if you would please turn back with me to the Gospel of John as Jesus makes this very stark statement. And notice that Jesus makes this statement not to those who were outwardly hostile to Him. Jesus did not say this primarily and as a target audience to those who already had rejected Him and were simply seeking to somehow entrap Him. No, Jesus says this to the very people who had some hopeful signs that they wanted to follow Him. And He says, "I want to make very clear. I want you to understand without any confusion whatsoever that believing in Me will evidence itself in a life that follows My word." Now, if you'll note, if you will, in verse 33, they ask a question. Jesus gives this very important instruction, and they answered Him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus certainly hit on a nerve when He spoke about bondage and freedom. The people of Israel, the Jews, the Hebrews, all through their history, had to deal with this issue of bondage. All the way back in Egypt, they were in bondage. They came into the Promised Land, and then in their disobedience, God judged them, and they went again into bondage. Assyria, Babylonia, the Greeks. At the very moment Jesus spoke these words, Palestine was under the control and the bondage of the Roman Empire. And so here we see Jesus speaking this word about freedom, and they were saying to themselves, wait a minute, although we may have had very real servitude nationally and politically, nevertheless, we are the sons of Abraham, and we are spiritually free because of who we are and the lineage and heritage which we enjoy as the people of God. Jesus wants to make very clear that this freedom He speaks of, it has nothing to do with your family connections, your ethnicity, your past experiences, or anything about the life of your family in the past. And congregation, that certainly is true of salvation to this very day. Amen. It is not a matter of the fact that your family has always been in the church that will guarantee that you're free in Christ. It is not simply because you may have had a long pedigree of being Baptist, and you could look back to your great-great-great-grandmother who was a Baptist. That is not enough. And so Jesus says to these who were Abraham's seed, He says, you may think that you are free, but just because you are Jewish does not guarantee that you are free indeed. Notice Jesus explains this, verse 34 and 35, as He continues. Jesus answered, He says, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant or the slave of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. He says, I want to make it absolutely clear without no confusion whatsoever. You may think because of your proximity to God's house that you're part of God's family. But those who are in their sin, those who continue in sin, that's the idea of what Jesus is saying. They are slaves to sin. They're in bondage to sin. They are spiritually in depravity in their sin. And although they may enjoy all kinds of external freedoms, inwardly they are enslaved. Surely these words were biting in the ears of His hearers. Congregation, Jesus speaks these words to us at First Baptist Church. Amen. He speaks these words to us who have some desire to be known as Christians. And He says to us who believe, do we continue in His Word? Do we follow His commandments? Are we found as a pattern of our lives a very real evidence of saving faith based upon this criteria? Congregation, these words we all need to allow to sink into our hearts and let them have their full impact for the sake of our souls. Jesus speaks of this bondage. He speaks of this great contrast. Now, congregation, this bondage, it is described throughout the Bible in so very many ways. Turn with me over to the book of Galatians real quickly. Galatians 3. In Galatians 3, we note one way in which the Bible describes this bondage that is true of every single person apart from Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 3, I want you to look down at verse 10. Galatians 3 and verse 10. The first way that I want us to consider how the Bible describes this bondage is it says we're under the curse of the law. We're under the curse of the law. Paul writes in Galatians 3 and verse 10, he says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. One way in which this bondage is described in the Bible is that we are under the curse of the law. Now, congregation, the law of God is beautiful and precious and good and holy. Amen? The law of God is not a curse, but it is our waywardness in relation to that law that places us under a curse. It is the reality that we do not follow, nor do we measure up perfectly to that law that is the issue. That law of God which is perfect, the law of God which is eternal and abides forever, is the law to this very moment which indicts sinners and exposes them for what they truly are. In fact, we have it in our own catechism. What is sin? And how does the catechism define sin? It is any want of conformity unto or transgression of what? The law of God. That's how the Bible describes sin. It is to be those who have violated the law. All who are in bondage, all who are in this condition, they are under the curse of the law because they have violated God's commands. Secondly, not only is this idea of bondage mean we're under the curse of the law, it means secondly that we're under the power of sin itself. Turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And hopefully this is familiar ground to most of us as we have been dealing with this in Sunday nights. But let me just read in your hearing the first verse here. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "And you hath He quickened who were what? Dead in trespasses and sin." This idea here is that all who are in this bondage Jesus described, all who have not come to this glorious freedom that God provides, are found as to their spiritual condition to be dead in their sins. Their spiritual faculties are not functioning. They are dead completely and absolutely. They need to be quickened. They need to be made alive. They need to be brought to life in Jesus Christ. This is the bondage sinners are in. They are dead and they need life which comes through Christ. Under the curse of the law, dead in their sins. Number three, those who are in bondage are under the tyranny of Satan. Turn with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we have this very, very disturbing reminder about the reality of this bondage that sinners find themselves in. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 25, as Paul is giving to Timothy words of instruction as he has been sent there to Ephesus to seek to set in order the things which remain there in the church and to seek to bring about this apostolic instruction to the church there. He says there are those who oppose, there are those who are contrary. And he says, verse 25, "In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Literally, to do his will. Here Paul says to Timothy, he says there are those there, they are not in a state of grace. They are certainly causing trouble. They're causing problems. They're not seeking to follow Christ. They're not seeking to obey the will of Christ. He says what God has to do is grant them repentance. Because the very act of repentance is a gift of God's sovereign grace. And he says this is what they need. They need to have God open their eyes so that they might see their sin and turn from their wicked ways. And he says in verse 26, as he describes them even more, he says that they might recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. What a picture. held captive to do the will of the devil, under the tyranny of Satan. Congregation, this is true of every single person who is in bondage in their sin. They're under the curse of the law. They are dead in their sin. And they are under the tyranny of the devil himself. What a picture of the bondage the Bible portrays. So if you would please turn back with me to John chapter 8. And as we note here, the context here of this true bondage. They said, we're not in bondage. We're sons of Abraham. We are okay. Because after all of our family has always gone to church. We've always been religious. And we've always sought to do the religious observances. And Jesus says, no, you are in bondage. In bondage to your own depravity, in bondage to the devil himself. You are in bondage in this horrible reality that you're under the curse of the very law you profess to love, because it entices you and exposes you and reveals the realities of your lost condition so that everyone can clearly see. Look, if you will, verse 32 at the remedy that is provided. If we stopped there with this bondage asserted, it would not be a pretty picture. But praise be to God, in these words of the Lord Jesus Christ, He says there is a remedy which God provides. He says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Look at verse 36. He says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Congregation, what is the remedy provided? It is no one less than Jesus Christ Himself. Amen? Jesus Christ is the remedy for our bondage. Jesus Christ is the means by which we can be free indeed. It is not because of our own rule-keeping. It isn't because of our own seeking to achieve the law of God or fulfill the commandments of God. Oh no! Left to ourselves, seeking to do that by ourselves, we would always and forever fall short of the glory of God. But what we cannot do for ourselves, God has provided through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He says, if you have the Son, you are free indeed. You are disciples indeed, and you are free indeed. If you will, note as we conclude in the message this morning, in verse 36, the freedom which is obtained. He says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. A moment ago I said some things about the bondage that we are in. I said a moment ago that we're under the curse of the law. But my dear friend, if you are in Christ Jesus, this is what the Bible says. It says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now what? No condemnation. What a blessed statement. None. No. Absolutely no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Said a moment ago that we were dead in our depravity and sin. Paul would say in Ephesians 2, 5 and 6, he says, when we were dead, God did what? He quickened us. And He raised us up together with Christ. So that we who were dead, we who needed God to grant the repentance, as we read a moment ago, He has done that through Jesus Christ. He has given us life. Thirdly, I said, to be in bondage is to be under the tyranny of Satan. And praise be to God. When you come to the Son, Jesus Christ, the tyranny of Satan is absolutely destroyed. He is a foe, nevertheless, but he is a defeated foe. Amen? A foe that is lost, and a foe which we can stand up to by God's enablement, and no longer are we ensnared to do His will. This is what Christ speaks of. This is what He clearly wants to make certain in His hearers' ears. He says, I want you to understand. You say you believe. You say that you want to be my follower. You say that you desire to be free. It is found in me and in me alone. If the Son, therefore, shall set you free, ye shall be free indeed. Let's bow together our heads and hearts before the Lord. Father, we are so very thankful that in Christ we are freed from all of our bondage, and we are given a freedom that grants us absolute forgiveness and cleansing of all our sin. We are thankful, O God, for the reminder this morning that that comes in and only through Your Son, Jesus Christ. That there is no other way, that there is no other provision in which we can have freedom and forgiveness except through Your Son. We thank You, O God, as we see ourselves in Your Word, as we hold up Your holy and perfect and righteous law, and it is a mirror reflecting back our sin, our depravity, our lostness, that we in and through Christ have been saved and redeemed from that curse, made alive, and we now live for You. O Lord, fill our hearts with a sense of thanksgiving and all that we have in Christ. And Lord, I pray that You would impress upon our hearts as well the very serious nature of the bondage that our Lord speaks of here. And Lord, if there are those who have not come to Christ, regardless of their religion, regardless of their actions, if they have not embraced Your Son, O Lord, we pray that You would grant repentance and faith, that they would receive Him, and that they would be made free indeed. O Lord, grant our prayer. This we ask, praying it in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. Amen.